There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want because this is
Mystery Playhouse. 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome once more to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. And rightfully named, let me assure you, for tonight's legends are so scary, it'll make you pale with fright. Oh, in fact, they were so scary I had to tone them down, because I didn't want your blood to curdle. Yes. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing the Count cannot stand, it's people who are sour, huh? Yes. I curse them. Really, I do. Giving me a foul mouth, huh? And if there's one thing I never want to have, it's bad taste. Yes. And with that in mind, not to mention mouth... I will present tonight's chilling tales. William Wilson, musical score. And our first story, The Bones of the Dragon. So scary!
Of men. The shadow knows.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of the shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcefully to old and young alike that crime does not pay. The lucky householders whose homes are heated with coal are enjoying healthful warmth in every room of their homes. There is enough anthracite for all, so even though the winter winds blow, there is no need to cut down heat or close off rooms in homes heated with dependable hard coal. Yes, sir, when you have a supply of hard coal in your basement, you're the boss of heating your house. You are absolutely independent of any outside service. Be glad you heat with anthracite, the home heating fuel that never fails. And remember, blue coal is the finest anthracite money can buy. The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Bones of the Dragon. Chinatown is beginning its New Year celebration, and today the dragon parades through Mott, Pell, and Doyer streets to the sound of drums and cymbals while admirers offer gifts of money. Lamont Cranston's friend, Johnny Lee, has accompanied the dragon to collect these gifts. And now this evening carries a money box that holds a fortune. Lamont and Margot Lane watch his approach from the sidewalk.
Well, there's Johnny Lee now, Margot. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Lamont. Here I see you.
Right. How do you like the dragon, Margot?
He's quite a fellow, but how do you work it?
They have two dancers inside. They change about with other dancers. The dragon's been parading all day. Oh, hello, Johnny.
Hello.
Not finished, are you?
Just finished, Lamont. The parade goes on to the corner, then breaks up. Good evening, Miss Lane.
Hello, Johnny. That box looks heavy. You must have a lot of money in it.
I have, but quite a few thousand.
Oh, that much?
Oh, sure. We call it a gift for the dragon, but it is our community chest. Excuse me, please. I want to put this money away. Then I'll be right back.
You have far to go. If you do, we can go with you.
Oh, no. That is all right. Just across the street. Back in a minute.
All right, Johnny.
Then what are we going to do, Lamont?
Then we're going to his uncle's for a real Chinese holiday banquet.
His uncle?
This is just down the street a bit. His uncle's name is Chung. Very charming old Chinese gentleman.
Oh? How long have you known Johnny Lee?
Oh, several years now. He helped me on a case once when I was...
Lamont. Trying...
What?
Look across the street. Johnny opened the door to those offices and then jumped back as if he were frightened.
Wait.
Someone's come out.
That's funny.
Who is that?
It's a Bu Hao Doi. Wonder what he's got to do with Lee.
What on earth's a Bu Hao Doi?
Hatchet man, one of the Tong's hired killers.
He looks like a killer.
Right, Margot. Lee does look frightened. Come on, let's cross over. He's got a lot of money there. This may mean trouble.
Now they've gone in.
No!
Wait a second. Didn't you hear something?
Hear what?
I'm not sure, but it may have been a scream right after they closed that door. I thought...
Margot, that was a scream. Come on, hurry. Okay, careful now. Here's the door. Close that door quickly.
Lamont, John's been dead. No. No, Lamont, it isn't John.
No, it's the hatchet man. The Bu Hao Doi.
Is he dead?
It's quiet. He's dead, the money box is gone, and Johnny Lee along with it.
Lamont, who did you talk with at headquarters?
Commissioner Weston.
Oh, what does he think, that Johnny Lee killed that hatchet man and stole the money?
Yes.
What do you think, Lamont?
I don't know what to think, Margot. I've known Johnny Lee a long time. It's hard for me to believe that he's a thief and a killer. Well, I've been mistaken about people before, and I may have been this time.
What are you going to do?
Try to find out the truth. I hope we can clear it.
I mean, where are you going now?
Oh, we're already there, Margot.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to this herb shop. Notice it's right next door to those offices where the hatchet man was killed?
Yes, I did, just this moment.
It's run by a Chinese named Sin Fu. He told the police a pretty fishy story. Go ahead, Margot.
Thanks.
Hello? Yes?
Well, hello, Alfie.
God blimey, what? It's Mr. Cranston.
What are you doing here?
Well, I work here, Mr. Cranston.
I thought you were in jail.
I got out 2 months ago. I'm on parole.
Better behave yourself, then. Margot, I want you to meet Mr. Alfie Nemo. If you ever need a pocket picked or someone stabbed in the back, he's your man.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where's Sin Fu, Alfie?
You want Sin Fu, Mr. Cranston?
Oh, hello, Sin Fu. Alfie, you will have to excuse us.
That's all right. I got some cleaning up to do.
And I've never been in a Chinese herb shop before, Lamont, and I'd like to look around.
Go right ahead. Well, Sin Fu, I just dropped in to find out why you lied to the police.
I lied to police? Not so. Honorable ancestors turn over in grace.
Is that so? Come over here a moment, Sin Fu.
Yes?
Now, look out this window. Notice that window next door? That's the way the murderer escaped.
Most astonishing, Mr. Cranston.
You were here in your shop when that hatchet man was killed, Sin Fu. The police asked you if you noticed anything. You told them no.
The wise men's answer.
You must have heard the hatchet man's screams. It's hard to believe you wouldn't have glanced out this window to see what caused them.
Sin Fu did.
And why did you tell the police you didn't?
It's better avoid trouble.
That's the way to get in trouble. What did you see when you looked out this window, Sin Fu?
Sin Fu see Johnny Lee escape and toward there. There's a very narrow passage.
Yes, I know that passage. I also know he couldn't have escaped down it without either a ladder or an accomplice.
They have accomplice. Maison. He was...
Yes?
Excuse one moment, Mr. Cranston.
Alfred!
What's the matter, Mr. Sinful?
What do you do with this door?
Why, I was going to clean up in the back.
You hear Sinful say not to go in there?
You told me never to go in there? Why, no, sir, we just... Oh! Why, you... They slapped me, did...
Improved memory. I tell you, never go in there. It's not so.
Yes, sir. I guess you did.
What's the trouble here, Sinful?
Nothing, Mr. Cranston. Only servants take training.
Yes, quite a problem, I hear. But you were saying...
Oh, yes. We speak of Lee's accomplice.
Yes.
Are you not care for this, Mr. Cranston? Let me understand you know and like him. He, Johnny Lee's uncle. Chung.
Chung, the accomplice? I don't believe it.
So, sir, Mr. Cranston?
Bring to his place and find out if you're telling the truth.
You think he tell you?
I don't know. There are ways of checking, Sinful.
Why doesn't Chung answer?
I don't know. Just a second. I'll try the... It's unlocked. Come on.
Well, should we?
We have to, darling. What's that?
There's someone in that room there speaking in Chinese. It sounds like a chant.
The crazy fool, that's Chung.
What's he doing?
No time, I'll explain later. Chung! Open up, you hear me? Open this door.
Nothing, stop.
Wait a second, stand aside, Ali. Chung, put that bottle!
You should not have done that, Mr. Cranston.
That was poison.
Yes. Was poison.
You meant to drink it.
Nephew Johnny Lee committed terrible crime, Mr. Cranston. My family lost much face. Better Chung should die.
It'd be a great deal more to the point if you'd stay alive to answer some questions, Chung. I've just come from the herb shop of Sin Fu, and Sin Fu said...
Sin Fu?
Yes.
Excuse, please, Mr. Cranston.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
To a room. There's something I forgot. Be back one moment.
See that you are.
What do you think, Lamont? Is Chung really going to take that poison because he lost face? Or because he feared exposure?
It's hard to tell. Why should he have feared exposure unless he knew what Sin Fu was going to tell us? Wait a second.
What's the matter?
This isn't the door to Chung's room.
What?
Look over there. There's the back door and it's open.
He didn't go to his room. He escaped.
Of course. He cleared out just as soon as he could when he heard Sin Fu's name.
But why?
Maybe because he knew what Sin Fu told us. And if he knew...
What, Lamont?
We'll try to make sure that Sin Fu doesn't repeat it to the police, Margot. Come on, we're going back to Sin Fu's shop.
Sinful wouldn't come to the front door.
I don't know. There was a light on for a moment, I'm almost sure. As long as he wouldn't, we'll have to force this rear door.
Oh, is it that important?
Could be. Besides, it was obvious that Sinful didn't scold Alfred because he didn't want him entering the rear of the shop. It's because he didn't want us to see in there. Yeah. I'll hurry up, step inside.
Oh, it's pitch black in here.
One moment, I'll try and find a switch. Okay, here's one. Now, this is the rear room of Sin Fu's shop, Margot. Wonder why he's...
Oh!
What's the matter?
Lamont.
Good Lord.
Are they bones, Lamont?
Afraid so, Margot.
Human bones.
Looks like it. These boxes over there contain what these do, Margot. We're in the company of a... couple of dozen skeletons.
Lamont, let's get out of here.
Not yet, you don't.
Alfie!
Get your hands up, both of you.
You surprised me, Alfie.
Oh, I meant to.
Chung!
Now listen.
Wait a minute, what's that?
No,
what's
please! That? Please! Chung!
Good morning, that's from the front of the shop.
What is it?
It sounded like Sin Fu, but let's find out, shall we?
Oh! Oh, God!
Gardner, that was brutal. Everybody, it's me.
Never let your guard down for anything, Alfie. Now pick yourself up and march inside.
But don't you shoot me.
Well, don't give me an excuse.
The light's on, but no one's here.
Where does that door go?
Into an hall that leads outside.
Right, open it.
Well, stop wagging that gun.
I said open it.
Well, by me, I am.
The mark.
Oh, Lord. It's sinful.
A knife in his throat.
Joan stabbed him and propped him here. Watch out. Catch him, he's falling. Come on, the lights.
Who turned out those lights?
Just a second. I saw a switch over here near the front door. Where do I find it?
Careful, Margaret.
There.
Margaret.
Good grief, Margaret. What happened? Where's Alfie?
The wrong question, Margaret. Where's the corpse?
We'll return to the shadow in just a moment. Friends, during the recent severe weather, homes, apartment houses, schools, and other public buildings heated with hard coal have enjoyed full, healthful, uninterrupted warmth. Regardless of snowstorms halting highway traffic or causing power failures, homes and other buildings heated with hard coal have been sure of continued heat. That's because in most instances, enough coal can be stored to carry you through the entire heating season. Yes, whenever you have a supply of hard coal in your basement, you have the assurance of a warm and snug home at all times. Now here's something else. Coal can be just about as convenient to burn as any other fuel. With a Blue Coal Temp Master on your furnace, all trips to the basement to adjust furnace dampers are eliminated. The Temp Master automatically adjusts them for you, keeping your home constantly at the healthful temperature you set on the upstairs dial. You'll be glad you heat with dependable hard coal when you discover how little attention your furnace requires with a Temp Master automatic heat regulator. The Blue Coal Temp Master can be installed on any furnace without interrupting the heat in your home, and a Temp Master will save you a lot of coal. Call the nearest Blue Coal dealer tomorrow and ask him to demonstrate the Temp Master in your home. Now, back to the shadow. Lamont Cranston has been investigating a theft and murder in Chinatown. His investigation twice led him to Sin Fu's herb shop, where, on his second visit, he encountered first the little ex-convict, Alfie Nemo. Then Sin Fu's body. Immediately afterwards, however, both corpse and Alfie disappeared. And now, a few minutes later, in the alley back of the shop.
Well, Alfie and Sin Fu's body have completely vanished, Margo. Let's go back in the shop.
Lamont, how did he get out?
Simply went down the hall and out the other door.
I don't see how Alfie managed to put the body in.
He didn't. He isn't strong enough to carry the body. I'd like to know who did manage it. You know the explanation for all these bones back here.
Could all these persons have been murdered?
It's hard to tell what to think. Here's something odd, Martha.
What's that?
The skull on the workbench here. You notice these steel boxes? Each seems to hold a complete skeleton. This skull seems almost to be an extra skull.
What could that mean?
I wonder. Margot, we've got to get this to police headquarters and see if they can identify it.
But how?
Check the dental work with Johnny Lee's dentist.
Mark, do you think this might be Johnny Lee's skull?
I'm afraid so, Margot.
Well, what are you going to do in the meantime?
I'm going back and call on the Honorable Uncle Chung again, Margot. This time as the shadow.
Well, it's about time you returned, Chung. I've been waiting for you.
Who said that? Where are you?
You cannot see me, Chung. I am the shadow.
But what?
I'll ask the questions, not you, Chung. A strong box has been stolen and a hatchet man killed. They said your nephew, Johnny Lee, committed the crime and that you helped him.
That's not true, Shadow.
Where were you at the time it happened?
Right here.
Can you prove that?
No, but...
Why did you run away from Lamont Cranston? Where did you go? What did you do?
Cannot tell anyone.
You can tell the Shadow, Chung.
Chung, not lawbreaker. But there was strong brother in trouble. I promised help him leave country secretly.
Who was that Tong, brother?
I cannot tell you.
Talk, Chung. If you don't, you'll find yourself facing a murder charge.
What?
Where did you take this man? Where is he now?
He at the waterfront in shed near Pier 32.
Waiting to be picked up and taken to a ship?
Yes.
What's his name?
You ask Chung betray him?
I'm ordering you to give me the evidence that may save your life. Talk, Chung, talk.
His name, Sin Fu.
What?
Chung say Sin Fu.
You take the shadow for a fool, Chung. Sin Fu is the very man you murdered.
Not true.
Sin Fu was found with a knife in his throat. A knife you put there, Chung.
Chung not kill Sin Fu. Did not...
You had your chance at an alibi, Chung, but you've refused it.
Shadow...
Sin Fu is dead. And dead men give no alibis.
Wait. Shadow, come back. No understand, I... Elfie.
Hello, Mr. Chung.
What do you want, Doc?
Your company, Chung. There was some money stolen tonight, and you're going to show me where it is.
Well, you were right, Lamont. The police had that skull examined by Johnny Lee's dentist. It was
him. I was afraid of that. Well, Margot, it looks now as if Johnny Lee was innocent. Sin Fu must have killed both Johnny Lee and the hatchet man. Then took Lee's body away with him to make it look as if Johnny had absconded with the money.
And then Sin Fu himself was killed by Chung.
The funny part of all this, Margot. When the shadow talked to Chung, he claimed that Sin Fu was alive and at the waterfront.
He couldn't be. We saw Sin Fu dead with a knife in his throat.
I know we did. Yet somehow Chung sounded sincere.
Well, you're beginning to doubt what we saw for ourselves, Lamont. Take a look at your sleeve.
Something on it?
Yes, a red spot. Blood. You must have got it when Sin Fu's body toppled over and you tried to catch it.
Blood. Red spot. Margo, I've got it.
What?
Chung wasn't lying. Sin Fu isn't dead.
Darling, you're crazy.
Am I, Margo? Well, if Sin Fu is alive, I know where he is. You better hold on, darling, because we're going there now and going there fast. Come on, Margo.
You sure this is the place?
It has to be. It's the only shed anywhere near Pier 32. Have you got the flashlight?
Yes, right here.
Okay. Here we are. Get behind me, Margo.
Right.
All right, the game's up, Sin Fu.
Sin Fu doesn't look very much alive to me, Lamont.
Bring the flashlight a little closer.
See something?
Take a look, Margo. I was right after all.
But he is dead.
But look how he died. From a bullet through the heart.
But he was stabbed through the throat.
No. Sin Fu faked that. I knew he had when you pointed out this spot on my sleeve and mentioned that it was still red. Blood would have turned black.
What? Oh, of course it would have. But then, why did he thank you?
Because he was skipping the country with the money. If we'd reported Sin Fu dead, no one would have suspected what really became of him.
I see. But who killed him?
The man who took his keys.
What?
Look there. See that belt loop?
Mm-hmm.
It's torn. That is where Sin Fu carried his keys. The murderer ripped them away.
What does that tell us?
Tells us that Sin Fu must have the money locked up somewhere. Margo, if we mean to catch Sin Fu's killer, we'd better find that money box before he does. Come on, let's start looking.
You're sure you're taking me to the right place, Chung?
Yes. This Pier 32, where Sin Fu left Trump before getting boot.
All right, then get out. But watch yourself.
Let me see. Oh, yes. Here it is. Sin Fu's trunk hidden back of Pally.
Now, open it up. But remember, one funny move and I'll put a bullet where it'll do you the most harm. And me the most good.
Margot?
We find anything, Lamont?
No, but look over there.
What is it?
Cars just pulled in beside the pier. Come on, we're going to investigate.
Blimey, the money's got to be in that trunk, chum.
Yes. Yes, it's here.
You see it?
Yes. Still in box. Has not even been opened.
Sinfu never even had time. Just set it down, chum. Then walk up a couple of steps.
What? What are you going to do?
What do you suppose?
You going to kill Chung?
You think I'm going to leave you alive to tell about this? Back up. To the edge of the pier. Go on. Walk.
Before you shoot, how you know money be here?
What do you care? Where you're going, it won't matter whether you know or not.
But...
keep going. Right to the edge. Then stop. Further. Further. That's it. Now.
Listen, my friend,
now,
please.
I'll just put a couple of holes in you so you'll sink faster.
No, please.
Get ready for your last swim, Chunk. Who's holding my arm? Let go.
It is Shadow again.
I'll kill him. Where is he? Where is he?
You cannot kill what you can't see, Elfie. Now I'll take that gun.
Let me go. Let me go.
There. Now then, pick it up, Chung.
I have it, Shadow.
You ain't got nothing on me.
You killed Sinfu, Elfie. That gun is going to prove it.
You're crazy. I don't even know where Sinfu is.
You're lying, Elfie. You know where Sinfu is because you and he both escaped from his herb shop at the same time. Immediately after he faked his death and the lights went out.
Why, what's that prove against me?
You saw Sinfu get into Chung's car. You followed. Saw Chung drive Sinfu to that shed over there. When Chung left, you killed Sinfu and took his keys. You came back to find the money with Chung's help.
Try and prove it.
The law will prove by that gun that you killed Sinfu.
Gun?
And I think that Chung will testify you had the keys to this trunk when you came back.
Boss, you let me go, Shadow. Take your hands off me.
I shall, Alfie. I shall take my hands off you very soon and deliver you into those of the law.
There's something you still haven't told me. What all those bones were doing in the rear of Sinfu's shop?
They were there for a perfectly legitimate reason, Margot. Just the same, they gave Sinfu the idea for his crime.
What do you mean?
Well, in addition to being a shop owner, Sinfu was also a bone polisher.
A bone polisher? What on earth is that?
Well, often Chinese who are buried in this country are exhumed and sent back to China for reburial. In that case, their bones are polished and put in little steel caskets like those we saw in the rear of Sinfu's shop.
Well, then when Sinfu killed Johnny Lee, he thought he'd never be questioned about the bones because he was a bone polisher by trade.
Exactly.
Well, there's one more thing, Lamont.
Hmm?
If Chung wasn't in on any of this, why was he helping Sinfu to leave the country?
Because he never realized that Sinfu had anything to do with the robbery or the murders. Remember, Sinfu made all the arrangements before he committed his crime. Chung saw no connection.
Sinfu was clever.
Clever? Well, maybe, Margot. Just the same, to recoin an old saying, wages of sin fu were death.
Now let me present Blue Coal's distinguished heating authority, John Barclay.
Thank you, Andre Baruch, and good evening, friends. As Andre told you, you can heat your home with dependable anthracite coal with ease and comfort by installing a Blue Coal Tempmaster automatic heat regulator on your present furnace. A number of people have asked me if a furnace is fired differently when dampers are controlled by a Tempmaster. The answer is no. You fire your furnace in the same way, except that you pay much less attention to it. In the morning, shake the grates gently and add a liberal supply of coal, and do the same at night. There's no doubt about it, anthracite coal is the most dependable fuel for home heating, and when burned by modern methods, is just about as convenient as any other. The Blue Coal Temp Master assures you of modern, carefree heating comfort. I thank you.
This story is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The characters' names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again next week, the shadow will demonstrate that
the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. The Shadow is presented by the DL&W Coal Company, distributors of Blue Coal. Lamont Cranston is played by Brett Morrison. Margot by Grace Matthews. Your announcer is Andre Baruch. Remember, it's Blue Coal for finest heating service. It's Blue Coal for finest modern equipment. It's Blue Coal for the best home heat money can buy. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Oh, boy, was that scary or what, huh? The bones of the dragon. Oh, juicy titles and chills down my spine, really. Especially the dragon part. I once had dragon milk, you know, very rare. You can only get it from short-legged cows, huh? Oh, it reminds me of my favorite era. Some like to call them the Middle Ages. I prefer to call them the Dark Ages, huh? Yes, yes. Those were the best years of my pseudo-life, huh? I like to think of it as a time of fair knights and shining iron maidens, huh?
Oh, yes.
Back then, when you wanted to hit the rack, there was always a body to help absorb the blow, huh? But enough of the nostalgia, and on to the weird circle, and Walter Wilson, huh? So scary!
Weird circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell so that all may know we are gathered again in the weird circle.
Speak again their immortal tale, William Wilson.
Cora! Cora!
Oh, Charlie Vernon, I thought you weren't going to come to my party tonight.
Now, this is one party I wouldn't miss for all the cobblestones in New York. Now, here you're going to announce your engagement to my old buddy, William Wilson.
Oh, that was supposed to be a secret until midnight. Who told you?
Usual grapevine, aura. No secrets in this clubby little group. Now, where is Bill now?
In the library. He hates crowds, you know it. Well, he wanted to be alone for a while.
What was that?
Come on, Aura. Let's find out.
Well, I think it's in the library, Charles. Bill! Bill, darling! He's wounded. Get a doctor, somebody.
I'll call the doctor right away.
What happened, darling?
If I were a detective, I'd say he tried to bump himself off and miss.
Oh, be quiet, Charles. Oh, Bill.
It does look like attempted suicide, doesn't it? It's all so strange. So strange.
Well, nothing strange about this setup, old boy. Gun in your left hand, a bullet hole in your left side. Pretty neat.
Are you enjoying it, Charlie?
Well, I can't say that I'm not. I came to suffer through your wedding. Who knows, I might stay and enjoy your funeral.
Really, Charles, your sense of humor's out of place.
You hate me, Charlie, don't you? A boob like you never could stand a guy with brains.
Brains? Those muscles in your head are so twisted they look like handcuffs.
Why did you do it, Bill?
All right, you've got to believe me, I didn't do it.
Oh, who did, Bill, and why?
Come on, William Wilson. We want the straight goods for a change.
But I didn't, I...
You might die, mister. Put your cards on the table.
My cards on the table? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. None of you would. It all started back in college. When you and I were rooming together at the fraternity house, Charlie. It was one night you were sitting at the desk studying and I was trying to shave. I was peering in the mirror at myself.
Why are you getting so slicked up, Bill, old boy?
Got a date.
With Dolly Masefield?
Cute little something, isn't she?
Oh, Bill, she's not your type.
Well, she's good for laughs.
You don't need laughs every night.
What would you suggest?
Oh, gee, Bill, if I had your dough, I'd work hard at college and meet a nice girl and think about getting married.
Ouch. I almost cut myself.
Oh, I mean it. About getting married, Bill.
So you mean it. What do you want me to do? Bury myself?
Well, no, but... Oh, gee, take me, for instance. I know I'm a dope, but I got just enough money to see me through college.
And... Yeah, I know. The $3,000 your old man left you. You're a boob to spend it in this place. You'll wind up with a blank bank account and a dirty piece of parchment to show for your trouble.
You've got the wrong slant on life, Bill.
I have. Listen, stupid. You've been seeing Aura St. Clair for 3 years now. She's alive with money. If you'd get on to yourself, you'd spring the question, put her in double wedlock, and get your fingers on that money.
I'm in love with Aura, Bill.
Love, love, love. Rot.
I'd never touch a cent of her money.
You're crazy, Charlie. Well, old boy, I don't want to be late.
Hey, Bill.
Hmm?
Have you met the new boy in the house?
What new boy?
A freshman just came in today.
Sounds fascinating. What about it?
Well, nothing, except he's got the same name you have.
Are you kidding?
No, I just thought you'd be interested.
There can't be two William Wilsons. If there is, there won't be for long.
Boy, what an ego you have. Well, great Scott, fella, you waste more time talking than you do anything else.
Yeah, which all adds up to the fact that you want me to stay home and study tonight. Nothing doing, Charlie. I got a date with my dolly. Night.
That was the first time I ever heard of the other William Wilson. The knowledge that he existed rankled in my soul. That evening, as I stepped out into the hall and walked halfway down the stairs, I was stopped by my double. He looked just like me, or rather like a poor imitation. I felt from the first that he was my evil genius. He didn't act like a freshman when he said,
"Hello. I've been waiting for you here in the hall."
You've been waiting for me? Who are you?
I'm your namesake. You can call me Wilson. There's nobody home at the fraternity house except you and me and Charlie. I thought it would be a good chance to get acquainted with you.
I'm sorry, I'm busy tonight.
Bill.
Where do you get that Bill stuff?
It might be worthwhile getting acquainted with me.
What do you want, anyway?
I'll walk you down the stairs.
Don't trouble yourself, Wilson. You might be better off never knowing me.
I might be, but...
Save it, I said. See you some other time, Wilson.
Charles! Oh, Charlie!
There's something I can do for you, lady?
Oh, yes. I'm Aura St. Clair. I promised to call for Charlie Verner tonight. Would you call him for me?
Well, you're Aura St. Clair.
Why, yes.
Well, all right.
Oh. Would you tell Charlie I'm here?
Well, I would if I could, but he's not in.
Oh, but he promised
you. Imagine him forgetting a date with a nice girl like you.
Well, that's strange. Do you know where he is?
Yeah. I mean, well, gee, Miss St. Clair, I don't think I ought to tell you.
Is he out with another girl?
Well, now that you've guessed it, I guess I'll have to say yes.
I see. I'm sorry.
I don't look like that. Suppose I see you home.
Oh, that's not necessary.
It'd be a pleasure. I'd do anything for Charlie. Come on.
Bill.
Is that you again, Wilson?
Yes, it's me, Bill. Don't you think you ought to stick around here this evening?
Don't you think you ought to mind your own business?
Maybe you are my business.
What? Stop ribbing me, fella. I don't like it. Come on, Miss St. Clair. I think you and I will have a lot to talk about.
This is awfully nice of you. I don't even know your name.
William Wilson. Don't forget that, my sweet. The one and only William Wilson. That's how I met her. We spent the entire evening together, Charlie. We had a lot of laughs. It was well past midnight when we said goodnight to each other. And I was about to go home when I remembered that I hadn't even called Dolly Masefield to tell her I couldn't make it. Knowing Dolly's temperament, I decided to drop up to her apartment, even though it was late. I knocked on the apartment door.
Well, well, well. Look what the breeze brought in, Mr. Heartbreaker.
Aren't you going to even ask me in?
I'll never talk to you again, that's what. Who do you think you are, Mr. King of Siam?
No, that's the way you feel.
Oh, wait a minute. Come on in, Bill. I've been worried stiff about you.
That's more like my doll, baby. Got a kiss for me?
Sure. I got a kiss for you. Oh, Bill, I love you so much.
Come here. There, Dolly. There.
Where were you, Bill?
Where was I? Don't you trust me, Dolly?
Sure, I trust you.
I had something important to attend to. Come on, give us a smile.
There.
I like to see you smile, Dolly. I like it a lot.
Oh, I do most anything for you, Bill.
I'm glad to hear that, because I've got to ask you a favor.
Anything you want.
I want you to stay away from me from now on, baby. You and I are through.
True? Oh, Bill, what are you talking about? Don't joke with me.
This is no joke. I'm serious. I'm giving it to you right from the shoulder, kid.
But you're joking, aren't you?
Nope, I'm not. I found the girl I want to marry. She's class, Dolly. Real class, with plenty of money. You get me?
You'll never marry her, Bill. She'll find out what a cheap four-flusher you are,
she's
and then I'll tell her. I'll tell her a lot of things about you. You pretending to have so much money and borrowing from me all the time. Pretending to be such a big shot when you got holes in your shoes. Shooting off your mouth.
Shut up. Shut up, Dolly, before I make you shut up. Nobody's going to tell anybody anything. That is, if you're smart. And I think you are. Okay. I know what everybody thinks of me. But I made up my mind to marry Aura, and nobody was going to stop me. I saw Aura every day and every night after that for the next 3 weeks. Things went according to plan. I thought I was rid of Dolly Masefield for good until... Well, you remember that night, Charlie, you and I and Wilson were sitting around the living room of the fraternity house chewing the fat. It was all Wilson's fault. I knew from the first time I saw him he was my evil genius. And you were saying...
I just... can't understand it, Bill. I've been calling Aura every night, but she won't talk to me.
Yeah, that's how women are, Charlie.
Why don't you tell him why, Bill?
Keep out of this, Wilson.
It won't make any difference now.
I said, mind your own business.
You are my business, Bill.
What are you talking about, Wilson?
Ask Bill why you never saw Aura the night she was to call for you. Ask him. Go on, Charlie.
Bill? Well, what did Bill have to do with it?
What difference does that make now? It's all over and done with. Aura's not interested in you anymore, Charlie. She told me so herself.
You dirty double-crosser.
Sit down, Charlie, and cool off.
Why don't you write Aura a letter and tell her the truth, Charlie?
Well, what's the use? But I'll get even with you someday, Bill Wilson. Don't think I won't.
I'll answer it.
Hey, you make a good doorman, Wilson. I told you, Charlie, to grab the girl while you had the chance.
You didn't tell me you were going to stick a knife in my back.
A smart guy gets what he wants in this world.
Is William Wilson in?
You have to be smart,
yes,
like me.
He's in the living room.
Thanks. Bill, Oh, Bill.
Well, look who's here. If it isn't the doll baby yourself.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Dolly. Meet the boys. This is Charlie Vernon. The doorman is my double, William Wilson.
Hello.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Tell you what I'll do for you, Charlie. I'll give you the doll baby here in exchange for Aura. How's that? That's fair.
You make a man sick, Bill.
Bill. Bill, I gotta see you.
Well, you see me. How do I look?
How alone, I mean.
I told you not to bother me anymore.
Oh, please, Bill, if you've any pity.
Pity? Sure, I got pity. Where we go?
Anywhere you say, Bill.
How about the river? How about a nice walk down to the river?
Sure, Bill. That's a good place for what I want. That's just about perfect.
Down to the river, Dolly and I. For a talker, she was silent that night. And I knew she had more up her sleeve than her pretty white arm. We got to the edge of the river. We sat down to watch the boats steam by.
Bill, I can't live without you.
So what?
I'm going to give you one last chance, Bill, to be a decent guy.
You're going to give me a chance? What a laugh.
Oh, Bill, don't you know what you're doing to yourself? You're trying to marry a girl that ain't for you. You once told me that you and me was cut from the same piece of cloth.
Yeah, I once said a lot of things.
We are cut from the same piece of cloth. You're a no-good bum, but I love you. Oh, we could help each other. You could go straight and be honest and hide and work right with you every inch of the way. Nobody else would do that for you, Bill.
What do you expect me to do, chuck $20 million into the lake for you? Listen, Dolly, don't try any tricks.
Bill, please, please.
You don't fit into the picture anymore, don't you get it?
Oh, what'll I do?
Who cares? Why don't you kill yourself? Make it easier all the way around.
You wouldn't care?
I'd send you a dozen posies.
If I jumped in the river, you wouldn't care?
Why should I?
Oh, watch me, Bill.
I don't think any man's as hard as you pretend to be.
So I'm watching.
You've held me in your arms. You've kissed me.
You said you loved me. Doesn't that mean anything?
It did when I said it, I guess. You can never tell what a guy's going to say.
Can you really watch me, Bill? Even though I love you?
I can watch anything, baby, when I'm sitting on $20 million.
Watch me, Bill. Watch.
Ah, you fool. Jump and get it over with. You can't bluff me.
I love you, Bill. Don't forget that.
Dolly.
Help! Help! I can't swim, Bill. Help me!
Well, it was your choice, kid. You picked your grave. Now die in it.
Nice work, William Wilson. Nice work.
What are you doing here?
I tried to follow you. I have a feeling I'm a little late.
She wanted to kill herself.
I wasn't thinking about Dollyville. I was thinking about you.
Don't give me that stuff, Wilson. I don't go for it.
I'm always thinking about you, Bill. But you're too smart to allow anybody to help you. And I'm afraid it's too late for you to help yourself.
Cut it out, will you? Cut it out. Let me worry about my own soul. If it's damned, then I'll be the one to suffer, not you. Not you. Dolly was dead. Nobody knew about it except Wilson. I knew he wouldn't tell. At least I thought he wouldn't. I don't know why, but I just knew. And there was only one other person in the way of my plans. That was you, Charlie. You were in the way, and I had to get rid of you. It took me some time to plan the right attack. It was right after Midyear's, remember? How could I forget? I was alone in the room with you, Charlie. I was toying with a deck of cards. Stop that shuffling, will you, Bill? I gotta shuffle him. Gonna play some two-handed stud with Wilson.
I'm nervous enough waiting for the Midyear report.
You'll pass. Don't worry.
Well, if I don't pass, what happens to me then? I got $1,000 left. Not enough to pay for any full year's course anywhere in the country.
What makes you so sure you flunked?
You know why.
Still thinking of Aura?
Sure, I'm still thinking of her. Day and night. Bill, isn't there a decent chord in you somewhere? Why don't you go to Aura and tell her the truth?
Why don't you? Hello, Charlie. How are you, Bill? It's about time you got here, Wilson.
Sorry, Bill. I hate to keep you waiting.
Have a seat. What do you want to play for?
Name your own figure.
Well, how about a $5 limit?
Good enough.
Want to sit in on a hand, Charlie?
No, thanks. I couldn't.
Game of stud would be good for you. Take your mind off your troubles.
Oh, the stakes are sort of high.
Or maybe you'll win some money. Heaven knows you need it.
Okay. Well, I might sit in for a while.
Cut for deal, Vernon. It might bring you some luck.
Don't you ever lose, Bill?
Not very often, old boy. Not very often. Want to bet again?
Easy, Charlie. Quit now while you've still got $600 left.
Well, I can't quit now. I can't. I tell you, I gotta win. I gotta. Let's double the stakes.
Double it, triple it. Any way you want, Charlie, old boy.
$3 Bill.
It's not up to me to quit. I'm the winner. It's up to Charlie. How about it, Charlie?
I haven't got much choice, have I? I'm flat busted.
Now, that's tough luck, Charlie. That's real tough luck.
You've got my girl. You've got my money. You've got everything, haven't you, Bill? Just everything.
You shouldn't gamble if you can't afford it. Come on, Charlie. Make out that check for the full amount, $1,108.
I haven't got that much money in the world, and you know it.
Well, give me $1,000, then. I'll take an option on that empty soul of yours for the rest. What's the matter? You going to welch?
I don't welch. Where's the pen?
There it is, Charlie. Don't get sore.
Give it to me.
Make it out nice and clear, huh? That's a boy.
Here you are.
Thanks, Charlie.
Where are you going, Charlie?
As far away from here as I can get. I'm going to get a job. A good, honest job. Someday I'll be back. And I won't forget you, Bill. I'll never forget you, no matter how long I live. Someday I'm going to get even.
Keep your shirt on, Charlie.
If you'll pardon me, good night.
Nice work, Bill. Keeping an even score.
What are you talking about, Wilson?
The three aces up your sleeve. And the cards from the bottom of the deck.
If you saw me, why didn't you tell it?
I don't have to. Other eyes are watching you beside me. Many other eyes. Eyes that keep the records of our lives.
So I cheated you, Charlie. You didn't even know it. You left town and it was clear sailing for me. All the way. Yeah, it was clear sailing. Right to the altar. At least almost to the altar.
Except for one thing, which you didn't know, Bill. One little thing. I left the fraternity house that night, but I didn't leave town. I went to Aura's house, and I told her the full story.
Charlie, this isn't a new story to me. All along, I've known Bill's pretty rotten. But I'm in love with him. I'm horribly in love with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm fascinated by him. And yet there's something almost appalling about him. He's crude and earthy and... How can I make you understand?
I think I understand, Aura.
Sometimes I wish I'd never met him.
You'd have been better off.
And then again, I'd die without him, Charlie.
That's my answer.
I'm so sorry, my dear.
It's all right, Aura. Someday I'll be back. When you need me. I don't mind being an old shoe for you. I'll be back, and I hope you've gotten over him by then.
It was a right touching scene. Yeah. Maybe you still got a chance, Charlie, if that doctor doesn't get here soon.
But you still haven't told me who... Bill, what happened tonight?
Well, I graduated from college, and you and I became engaged. Then you sent out the invitations to this ball tonight, to all my old friends, even to Wilson, the one man I didn't want to see. I was standing in the ballroom a little while ago, watching you, Aura, when Wilson beckoned to me. He was in the doorway of the library. Somehow or other, I felt drawn to it. I had to go there, even though I didn't want to. I walked in, closed the door behind me.
Hello, Bill.
What do you want?
You know what I've come for.
Why don't you turn on the lights?
Are you afraid of the dark, Bill?
What are you talking about, Wilson?
The world you'll know will be dark forever.
Are you trying to threaten me?
I don't think I have to threaten you. You threaten yourself by your mere existence.
Who are you, anyway, William Wilson?
Don't you know, Bill?
Stop looking at me that way.
Think back, Bill. Think back a long way. Remember Dolly.
I don't want to die, Bill. I just want to threaten you. I don't want to die. I love you.
Remember her screams and your laugh? Remember what Charlie said?
You'll pay for this someday, Bill. You'll pay for it.
I warned you. I've warned you many times. And I never told on you. Do you know why?
I don't care why.
Think hard, Bill Wilson. Think hard. I'm the only one who knows the truth. I'm the only one who stands between you and success, William Wilson. You carry a gun, don't you, Bill? Don't you?
What's the difference if I do?
Why don't you kill me?
Kill
then
you?
Then nobody will know.
Hate you.
Love you.
Hate you.
Love you.
Hate you.
Yes, I will kill you. I will. There can only be one William Wilson.
There's never been more than one William Wilson.
I'm wounded. I aimed the gun at you. At you, Wilson. Wilson. Wilson! Where are you? Wilson! I'm alone. No, 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 no. I couldn't have dreamed it. I couldn't. And that's the entire story. You don't have to believe me, but it's the truth.
Here's the doctor, Bill.
Now, just lie still, son. Don't try to move.
I don't feel sick, Doctor. I'm just stiff. Sort of paralyzed, you know what I mean?
Now, let's have a look at this.
Hey, Doctor, how bad am I?
Just lie still. Yeah.
Doctor,
there's a sudden pain, Doctor. Doctor, I felt fine before, but...
I'm afraid it's too late. The bullet lodged near his heart, and the exertion of talking was too much for him.
If he hadn't talked, Doctor, would he...
No, my dear. He must have had a lot on his conscience to have held up this long. William Wilson, I'm waiting for you. Come along, Bill.
Wilson, what are you doing here?
Just waiting for you, Bill. Waiting so the two halves of the soul can be reunited. Come along, Bill. Take my hand.
Your hand. So dark here, Wilson. So very dark.
Yes. I'll have to leave you. And we've a long journey ahead, Bill. An awfully long journey. On the road back.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
The Weird Circle is distributed exclusively by Nostalgia Broadcasting Corporation, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, scary, huh? Scary, kids, scary, scary. Now, I've heard of people who hate themselves, but really, huh? Yes, yes. That's what happens when you follow the golden rule and do unto others as you would have them do unto you, huh? Yes, yes. No, really, really, that's why I say don't trust anyone, especially yourself. Yes. Hey, talk about schizophrenia. He should have split while he still had the chance, huh? Oh, but seriously, have you ever seen someone live that long while dying? Besides myself, of course. Yes. I mean, no, seriously, I waited 30 minutes for that guy to expire. It wasn't even funny, unless, of course, your humor is deadpan. Yes. Which brings us to our next story. Lights out, everybody. It's musical score time. So scary!
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mystery. Good evening, friends. This is your horror host at the squeaking door of the Inner Sanctum. Come in, come in. Hang your hats on the torture rack over there and get cozy. Tonight, we've got cadenzas and cadavers, murders and melodies. Oh, well, that's all I can tell you now. No sense putting the cart before the hearse. Is there?
From the way you're talking, I guess we're going to have music on the program tonight. I think that's real nice.
So do I, Mary. I've always loved music. Even as a child, I used to play the death rattle.
Now, please, I'm being serious. You know, I once won a prize for playing the piano. Yes, they gave
me
a...
Wait, don't tell me. Let me guess. They gave you a lovely sterling silver medallion, didn't they, Mary?
No, they didn't. You know very well that the only way you can get that sterling silver medallion is from the Lipton Tea people. And, ladies, it's solid sterling silver, and it's just the right size, about an inch in diameter. It's the kind of jewelry you find at those smart shops on Fifth Avenue in New York. The medallion is decorated with a Chinese inscription, and it's hung on a narrow black rayon satin ribbon. It's just what you want to brighten up your simple silk dresses and your dressy suits. And here's how you get this handsome medallion. Just send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to Lipton Tea, Box 92. That's Box 92, New York City. Send for yours tonight.
Give me a pen, Mary. I'll send them a check immediately. And what's more, I'll write it in blood. There'll be plenty spilled here tonight. The title of our story is Musical Score. It's an original radio play by Christopher Mayo. And our star is Barry Kroger, who plays the role of Grasso. It's the story of a simple melody and of a killer who, as our story opens, is fighting desperately and alone against a raging storm off the coast of Maine. The lifeboat he is in is half foundered, and the man's wild rowing does little good.
I'm a murderer! A murderer! I kill to be free! And I am... Did I do it all for nothing? Peter Towle and his wife. They were the first to go. Almost in the same spot. Oh, world famous composer. Oh, and that tune of his. He had all three of us on the life raft crazy with it. That maddening tune. I can still hear him humming it. Still hear it. But the sea was calm that day. Dead calm. 15 days of calm. 15 days on a raft with a sick woman and 3 men. And that sun.
Carl! Stop that bastard humming!
Sorry, Clyde. Marcia seems to like it. Part of the symphony I'm working on.
It does get on our nerves, Tom. How is your wife?
I don't know, Grasso. Poor Marcia.
Yes, I know.
I'm hungry. Smile, how about some rations?
Ah, that fat belly of yours. I told you before, even off as chief mate, I run this life raft. We've got rations for one person for 2 days. No one eats. We don't. Now forget it.
We ought to be practical.
Smile. What made the Santa Margarita go down so quickly?
I told you. Nothing but a stray mine. It was Argentine registered. Coffee boat, a neutral. It's all it could have been.
Oh, cut it out, will you, Tom? But change the tune, at least. I can't stand it.
Sorry.
We're done for.
Now, you may be a famous playwright, Grosso, but you don't know the sea. We're near the main fishing banks. We got a chance of meeting a fisher we can hold out.
Carl! Carl, will you stop that blasted tune?
Yes, for heaven's sake, Carl, quit it! What a trio. A perfume manufacturer, a playwright, and a sailor. We all wanted food. We all wanted water. Sweet. An end of Toll's humming. Well, I wanted all that more than the other thing. Without Marcia Toll, I could eat a little. Without Peter Toll's song, I could rest. The 17th night it was. The moon painted us all in silver and black. The others slept. Tull had his wife's head cradled in his lap. I crawled over to Tull.
How is she, Tull? You know, I think she's getting better. She smiled at me a minute ago. My singing helps.
Go on, Tull. Hum. Hum your song. I cut off his infernal song, cut it off with my fingers, digging into the yielding flesh of his throat. He slumped over his wife's body. I closed my ears to her moans, and I pushed them both into the dark water. All right. So Tull's gone. So's his wife. But they didn't fall off. One of the three of us murdered him. And it wasn't me.
I don't think you did, Smythe. I know I didn't.
You're voting 2-1 and electing me the murderer, huh?
Not necessarily, Grasso. It just looks a little like it.
How are you going to prove it? Who's going to believe you any more than they'd believe me? Even I was ready to murder for a crust of bread. For all I know, Smythe, you did it to sell even off some rations.
Well, we hang together or we hang separately, then.
Let's be practical about this, Smythe. None of us can afford to be mixed up in even the implication of murder. Suppose we have an agreement.
Huh?
Just in case we are picked up.
What kind of an agreement, Grusel?
Suppose we agree now and for all time that Tull and his wife simply died at sea and were buried at sea. On the 21st day, the rations were gone. And the song, we could all hear Tull humming it from the bottom of the sea. We watched each other like animals. On the 23rd day, a fishing boat picked us up, half dead, cooked alive. But we lived. I lived to fear and to kill again. Fear began with a little scene in the Portsmouth Hospital where we were being treated.
Well, you
Got your belly full of food, Ivanov?
Yes, yes. No more hunger pangs, Smythe. How about you, Grosso?
Pretty normal now, I guess.
Oh, by the way, a friend of mine, second mate on another ship, was in to see me yesterday.
Yes?
Yeah. They picked up a couple of survivors from the Santa Margarita before we were rescued. Not interested, eh? They were a man and his wife.
Well, don't be such a dramatic ass, Smythe. Was it...
No. Not poor Marcia and Peter Tull, but the friends of theirs, the Abraham Davises. You know them?
Davis? The symphony conductor?
Yeah, that's him. Wouldn't he like to know about the Tulls, huh?
You've got a flair for the dramatic, Smythe. Sometimes it's dangerous to be so talented. I began to worry if both of them weren't ganging upon me. For days and weeks passed, and nothing happened. Only the Tull's melody was always with me, day and night. It kept ringing in my head, on and on and on. But at least I hadn't heard from the other two until one morning a letter came from Abraham Davis, the symphony conductor and dear friend of the Peter Tulls.
Dear sir, it has taken me this time to locate you three who were with my lamented friends, Peter and Marcia Tull, when they died at sea. I'm giving a reading from the score of Peter Tull's last symphony in my home prior to its first performance, and thought you might like to hear it.
Hear it? I didn't need a reading to hear it. But I'd have to be there. They would be. Maybe plotting to tell lies about me to Davis. Right then, I decided to kill them both. That way only lay freedom from anxiety. Murder would free me. Ivanov would be first. Yes. Fat. Beady-eyed Ivanov. I studied their movements. Ivanov worked late at his office every Tuesday night. And on the second Tuesday of each month, the Halifax-bound cargo steamer San Luis left her New York dock. My plan was simple. It involved my waiting for Ivanov in his apartment house on the night of Tuesday, May 8th. My weapon would be simple, too. A common bread knife. Simple and so satisfying.
Good night, Mr. Ivanov. Thanks for the bottle of perfume. My girl's crazy about it.
That's yours. When you get married, I'll give you a quart of it.
Thanks.
I slid the knife from my sleeve and gripped the handle. Ivanov reached his door. His broad back was a leap away. I knew where to strike. You learn those tricks in my trade. An upward thrust just below the right shoulder blade.
You. It was you.
I watched him gasp out his last, feeling no remorse, no pity, just relief that I had nothing more to fear from Ivanov, at least. One more to kill, to be free. One more. I turned my back on the cooling mass at my feet and reached the street. I walked fast. I had only a little while to reach the docks and make my boat. Tull's melody kept beating its tireless notes against my brain.
Well, dear me and glory be. That's my idea of a real thong plugger. Oh, speaking of music and murder, did you ever hear of the fiddler with a violent temper? He murdered his wife because she was always harping at him. Oh, yes, and because she had a cellist disposition, too.
You're certainly full of musical puns tonight. Good heavens, what have you got there? It looks like a Chinese gong.
It is, Mary. I got it from an auctioneer. You know, those fellows always say, going, going, gong.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Oh, I've always wanted to kick the gong around.
Besides, if you're going to tell that Chinese story about the medallion, I ought to accompany you on the Chinese gong.
Well, I'm not going to tell it in Chinese, so suppose you put that thing away. But, lady, there is a story behind that sterling silver medallion that the Lipton Tea people want to send you. And what's more, it's a true story. It seems that the original of this handsome medallion was given to an American flyer who was rescued by Chinese guerrillas after he'd bailed out over enemy territory. The flyer was told that the Chinese letters on the medallion would identify him and bring him safely through the lines. Well, he did get through. And only then did he learn that the inscription said, "Good luck" in Chinese. Now, there's a story to tell your friends when they're admiring your medallion on its smart black rayon satin ribbon. And to get this good luck charm, just like the one the flyer carried, all you have to do is send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to Lipton Tea, Box 92, New York City. How about hitting that gong now so they'll remember? Yes, that's Box 92 in New York City.
All right. Now let's go back to our murderer who's being haunted by a song. Remember what happened? A composer named Tell and his wife Marsha were thrown off a life raft and drowned by one of three other men on the raft. The killer has been telling us his story as he fights the sea in a lifeboat. You remember that he just murdered Ivanov and is now heading for a Halifax-bound cargo ship.
This is your spike room, Mr. Grouser. Anything I can do for you?
No, thanks. Not just now. I'm going right to bed. When do we reach Halifax?
Tuesday morning, sir.
Yeah.
Good night.
Thank you. Oh, wait. I'm afraid I'm rather a nervous traveler. Well, just between us, do we have competent officers aboard?
The best, sir. Captain Johns is tops.
Oh.
There's no better chief mate anywhere than Mr. Smythe, sir.
So he was there. I'd gone to a lot of trouble to get aboard that ship, and he was there. I kept out of his way entirely until last night. We were off the main shore. It was raining slightly. I slid the long, well-pointed bread knife into my sleeve and made my way toward the after deck. It lacked 3 minutes of 8 bells.
Skipper, I'm going after a smoke.
There he was, just where he had been every night. Smoking, leaning against the rail near the small lifeboat. I could barely see him. It was so dark. But I stole toward him a foot at a time. Now I held my breath. I was so close. Slowly, I brought my arms straight to my side. Flexed my muscles. Tense for the thrust. I calculated the lunge. Cigarette told me where his mouth was. Then he turned his head a little, his cigarette flared and lit, his face and his eyes were on me.
I thought you'd look me up if I came to the same spot each night. Turning out to be quite a killer, aren't you?
How did you guess? Still hit his mind. Now nobody knows what happened on the life raft. Nobody. I'm free.
You fool. You don't ever be free. A song. A song.
I dumped Smythe into one of the small boats and climbed in myself. I pushed out on the davit and lowered the boat to within a couple of feet of the water and then climbed down the supporting ropes to it. I cut the ropes. The black hull of the ship slid past. We were alone, just Smythe and me. And Smythe was dead. So I threw him overboard, and I was alone and free. And tonight, I'm alone and free. Hear me howl! Hear me!
No. Am I going crazy? There can't be a light. I'm alive. Well, it must be. It is. Right, it's land. Rocks ahead. And surf breaking against me. But I'm close. You're close. I'm going to crash into them. The surf's picking up the boat and throwing me down the rock. I'll be killed. No! No!
Darling, I think I hear something outside.
What?
Stop a minute. I think I hear something.
You don't have to shout. What is it then?
Listen. Isn't that our door? Don't you hear pounding?
How could it be? This is a lighthouse. Who would come out to an island in this storm?
Just the same, I'm going to see.
All right, I'll go with you.
Ah! How did he...
No. No, not you. Stay away, Tom. Leave me alone. You're dead. It's made it, Marshal. Yeah, give me a hand. Put him in the living room bunk.
Peter?
Yes?
How did he know our name? What did he mean by what he said?
He's changed a lot. Since we saw him last. Since I saw him last. He was on the life raft with us.
The Santa Margarita?
Yes. I'd know him better than you would. You were ill. His name is Grasso. His was the last voice I heard before we... fell overboard. Mr. Grasso, you look a lot better this morning. How is your head?
It throbs. I can't move. What happened?
You were washed up against the rocks in the lifeboat. Oh. You must have hit your head and banged up your side.
You didn't drown.
Obviously. You didn't choke me thoroughly enough, Grasso. The water revived me. And I was clutching Marsha's dress.
Yes, but how did you...
get here?
Yes.
Fishing boat. It was almost dawn when you tried to kill us. I managed to hold Marsha up for a little while. We were lucky.
What are you...
here. Put your arm around my neck.
No.
I'll take you to the tower.
Where's your wife?
Marsha's gone to the mainland to get the doctor.
We're alone.
Yes. We're alone. Relax.
No, let me go, Tom. I didn't mean to do it. I was crazy with hunger and that tune of yours.
You're all crazy, Tom.
I'll pay you.
No,
I'll pay you.
It's too late, Grasso.
Anything.
Don't struggle. You could start that hemorrhage that way.
What are you going to do to me?
Why, nothing, of course.
But...
here we are.
You're not bringing me up here for the sun and the air, Tom. Why?
Very comfortable in this bed. Marsha liked it here. Wonderful view in every direction. These windows here pull to one side.
What?
Like this, see? Now, I'll leave you directly.
No, don't!
Don't what, Grasso?
Why? I don't know. I put you up to something.
Don't be silly. I'm just going to work on my music for a while. I'm having trouble with one part in it. It goes... Remember, Grasso?
That... I see it now. Why, you...
You'll be safe here. I have this barred metal door here to keep saboteurs out. If you want anything, just talk.
Acoustics are wonderful down these stairs. You can hear everything.
My head. I'll do anything. Oh, only don't.
Wait, Grasso. I heard about Ivanov's murder on the radio the other day.
All right. I did it. I tried to kill you and your wife. I killed Ivanov. I killed Smythe. Get the police.
But don't play that song. In the top drawer of the table next to the bed is a loaded revolver.
Stop, Tom! Stop!
My bed.
Stop!
Can't go on. Revolver. God.
Yeah.
It'll stop it. Now I'll never hear that song again. Never.
Play it! Play your melody, Tom! And the blaze is with you!
I forgot to tell you, Grasso. The gun is loaded with blanks.
There's still a way out. Still a way out. All right, Tom, you win.
Hello, Marcia, darling. No, everything is fine now. Yes, there is something you can do for me. Send Davis a wire, will you? Just say, plan fall production of symphony. Have just finished final score.
Hey, how would some boogie-woogie sound to you right now, I'd settle for a nice, cozy fife and drum corps.
Now, stop that funny kind of talk, because I've got something important to say. Folks, tonight the Lipton Tea people have asked me to remind you that the goal of this Seventh War loan drive is $14 billion. I guess sums like that are just too big for you and me to understand. But every one of those dollars has a purpose behind it. And that purpose is to end the war in the Pacific as quickly as possible. Yes, that $14 billion is needed to move our soldiers halfway around the globe, to build new ships and faster planes. We've promised our fighting men the very best weapons that can be made. That's the least we can do. And we're helping to fulfill that promise when we buy war bonds, when we support the Seventh War loan drive with every penny we can spare. So, folks, please buy all that you can when the Victory Volunteer comes to your house.
Sure, we got a moral for tonight's story. If you're thinking of marrying a musician, insist on a big house. Don't go in for this lighthouse keeping stuff. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Right Red Hand by Joel Rogers. Now listen to this. Our star next week will be the famous dramatic actor of stage and screen, Raymond Massey. He will appear in a story about a man who plays chess. Nice, quiet little sport, Except that our friend uses human beings for his chess pieces. And by the time the game is over, those pieces are just too dead to move. Now it's time to close the squeaking door until next Tuesday, when Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup bring you Raymond Massey and another Inner Sanctum mystery story directed by Hyman Brown. So, until then, good night. Pleasant dreams.
Folks, there's a modern food with an old-fashioned, homemade flavor. It's Lipton's Noodle Soup. Yes, Lipton's does taste homemade. It's got that same chickeny taste as the chicken noodle soup you make right in your own kitchen. Lipton's has got the same good herbs and flavoring, the same tender golden egg noodles. But listen, Lipton's noodle soup mix comes in an envelope, and it only takes a few minutes to prepare. Of course, sometimes it's hard to get in some stores these days, but there's lots of good things scarce in wartime. So remember to always ask for Lipton's noodle soup. And remember to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh, kids, that was the most scariest of them of all, huh? I mean, that guy wasn't just whistling Dixie, huh? Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I can tell from the very start, it wasn't going to be another ho-hum story. Oh, don't worry. Don't. No, really. It's just that, well, I have to confess, at a certain point, it did go a bit overboard. Well, I guess it all goes to show what happens when you try to live in harmony, huh? Yes. Well, I don't want to sound like a broken record, kids, but it's time for me to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is a count saying, be sharp.
Control of your radio device to you until next week.
What now?